The issue was, you know, we'd put the stuff in blood, and you'd take it out, and you wouldn't see clots or anything on it. It looked pretty clean. So we figured, you know, you want the surface of an artificial heart not to build up clots, and obviously on it, you know, look good. So we're saying this is great. But it turned out that, in fact, these hydrogels seemed to stimulate clots, but they didn't stick. So it triggered them. So what you have is you had an emboli. Thrombus masses going downstream, which of course was not good. This was actually one of our first major discoveries here in that area. And this led us into an exploration of how blood clots interacts with synthetic materials and how we might design interfaces, surfaces, that look better. And actually, all the work said, hey, there were good engineering plastics out there. There are polyurethanes, there are silicon rubbers that are strong elastomers. People know how to manufacture them. We asked the question, can we just alter the surface structure to make them more compatible with biology? And this kind of led me into what has been one of the major foci, my focuses in my career, which is how we analyze surface structure, how we relate surface structure to biology. And it turned out that although there was some things going on, the best work on surfaces was being done in those days on semiconductor surfaces. And the microelectronics community, on one hand, and actually the catalysis, the petrochemical catalysis community, were looking at the surfaces of catalysts. These two communities had very powerful tools, particularly the semiconductor people, even in the earliest days, had some very powerful tools for examining surfaces. And I started asking questions, how can I borrow from those areas and bring those powerful tools to biomaterials to look at the surfaces of our materials? Because the surfaces were what was triggering our reactions, controlling our reactions.